nations and machine that the Lord is going to do it in Jesus' name. We're just only receiving the next only two more calls, and we're going to pray. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. The Lord does the impossible. Yes, please.
Hello.
Hello.
Good evening, sir.
Good evening. Who am I talking to?
You're talking to Daniel.
Yes.
You're listening to CITR 101.9, broadcasting from UBC's Point Grey campus, located on the traditional, unceded Coast Salish territory of the Hunkaminam-speaking Musqueam people.
You are tuned in to CITR 101.9 FM, broadcasting from the traditional, unceded Coast Salish territory of the Musqueam people. This is an auspicious occasion. We are joined for the half hour by none other than the President of the University of British Columbia, Dr. Santa Ono.
But who are we? My name is Christine Powell, and I'm the outgoing president of the student executive and the production coordinator here. And I also host a show called Fresh Slice every Friday from 1 to 2 p.m.
And I'm Halla Bertrand, the incoming president of the student executive and the sponsorship coordinator here at CITR. We want to give a short introduction to our guest before we start our conversation. Dr. Ono studied at McGill University, where he earned his PhD in experimental medicine. Then, as a professor of medicine and biology, Ono has worked at Harvard, Johns Hopkins, University College London, and Emory Universities. His research encompasses the immune system, eye inflammation, and age-related macular degeneration, a leading cause of blindness. And on August 15, 2016, he became the 15th president and vice chancellor of UBC here in Vancouver.
So welcome to CITR.
Thank you very much. It's awesome to be here.
Awesome. In order to try to get to know you better, we thought it would be great to take turns asking you some rapid-fire questions.
That's perfectly fine.
Okay. I'll start it off. What is your favorite ice cream flavor?
I would probably say vanilla. I know it's boring, but probably is.
Your go-to karaoke song?
I haven't done much karaoke, actually. Your song by Elton John.
Cool. Your favorite carb?
My favorite carb, pasta.
The best beach in Vancouver?
Jericho Beach.
Awesome. And your favorite emoji?
The smiley face, the happy one, obviously.
A classic, aww. A true classic. Great. That definitely helped for us to get to know you a little bit better. So your bio says you are, quote, an avid music lover whose tastes range from Rihanna, and you studied at the Peabody Conservatory of Music in Baltimore and remarkably still find time to sing and play the cello. So how did you start playing the cello?
Well, I'm glad you didn't focus on the singing part, because I sang when I was in Atlanta at Emory University, but I don't sing anymore. So, and that actual bio, every now and then people say that, and they ask me to sing, and that would not be a good situation. So I don't sing right now. But I started to play cello in Baltimore, Maryland when I was a child. And I picked the cello because my parents brought me to a symphony orchestra concert, and I just liked the cello. I liked the way it sounded.
That's great. And what we're all dying to know is, what was it like to perform Purple Rain for Prince?
It was fantastic. That's one of my favorite songs. And when I was in college or university, as you'd say here, I was really a Prince fan, and I was devastated when he died. And, you know, Purple Rain is one of my favorite. And I have a friend who you may know, called Mike Carr, who plays the guitar and drums, and is called the One Man Electronic Band. And there's a little bit of us on YouTube. And he asked me what I wanted to play, and I said Purple Rain. And it was just, it's a perfect song to highlight the cello. And I had a connection with the artist, so it meant a lot to me.
Awesome. So I guess, or maybe it would be assumptuous to say that you may be a music nerd. It just so happens that we asked you to select a song.
Absolutely.
Which song did you select and why?
Well, I did it in the middle, late at night, so I'm not sure if I remember. I think it was Corey Hart, Sunglasses at Night. And I think the other one was probably Katie Lang and Hallelujah. Is that correct?
Yeah.
I was playing around with maybe Rush, but Katie Lang, you know, Cohen unfortunately passed away, and he's a national hero, and his own rendition of Hallelujah is very, very emotional. But Katie Lang, you know, she sang it at the 2010 opening of the Olympics in Vancouver. I don't know if you remember that, but. Mm-hmm. It's just, she's an incredible artist, and she's a Canadian, and beyond being a great artist, she is just somebody who stands for all kinds of important principles of inclusiveness, and so I picked Katie Lang for that reason. And Corey Hart I chose because I was in Montreal. I was a graduate student at the time, and at that time, I think it was in the late 1980s, I think it was 86 or 87 when that song came out. It was the number one hit, and my friends from the States would make fun of me because they knew I was Canadian, and they would just call up and say, hey, are you going to put sunglasses on at night? And so I just have loved that song ever since.
That's a great anecdote.
That's awesome. So without further ado, we will play Sunglasses at Night,
yes,
by Corey Hart.
So I can watch you weave and breathe your In today's political landscape, more fires are raging out of control than ever before. Will you help put these fires out by registering to vote in BC's 2017 general election? You can vote in advance, mail in your vote, vote on the day of election, May 9th, or at any district electoral office. For more information about the process or to see where you can vote, visit elections.bc.ca.
Are you interested in Indigenous issues?
Are you down with decolonization?
Do you have something to say?
Or have a topic to share?
We have just the thing.
Join UBC's first ever Indigenous Radio Collective.
We're a team of Indigenous and non-Indigenous people.
I'm Niska from my mother.
From the Tahltan Territory.
I'm a settler from Washington State.
I'm from the Qualicum and Musqueam First Nations.
I am Quechua Indigenous from Saraguro, Ecuador.
We broadcast from the traditional, ancestral, and unceded land
of the Hunkaminam-speaking Musqueam people.
Whatever you want to talk about, we're into it.
Everyone is welcome, no experience necessary. Unceded Airwaves airs Mondays from 11 a.m. to 12 p.m. on CITR 101.9 FM.
Follow us on Facebook and Twitter at Unceded Airwaves.
We want to hear your story.
You are tuned in to CITR 101.9 FM. In case you're just tuning in, we are live in the studio with the president of UBC, Dr. Santa Ono. And that was the song Sunglasses at Night, as per Santa's request. We have spent the first half of our conversation getting to know the man behind the bow tie. But for the second half, we're going to dive into his approach to leadership at UBC and more.
So in response to President Trump's executive order that prevents people from certain Muslim countries from entering the U.S., you created a task force with a budget of $250,000. Could you tell us about the intent behind this task force and what makes it so important in the light of these recent changes?
Well, you know that higher education, research, and scholarship is a global enterprise. And you all can tell from looking at the faculty members here and the students here that people come from all around the world, including Muslim countries. And that kind of mobility is really essential to allow that kind of cross-disciplinary and cross-national conversation and dialogue about all sorts of things. And UBC, as you know, is Canada's number one most international university. And I really believe that the presence of people from all over the world on campus really enriches the campus experience, helps us create global citizens, is a positive thing for the Canadian students that are here as well. And I really feel that when people are displaced, whether there are students that at UBC that were planning on going to the United States, if they're displaced in doing their scholarship, and there are students and fellows and faculty that fall into that category, that we have a responsibility as their host institution to provide funds that might mitigate those barriers, or if there is a situation where funding might be required that is anticipated from an institution in the States, that if that falls through, that we're there for the students that are currently here.
That's so good to hear.
Yeah, that's really great. So one of the first goals that you mentioned in your announcement speech was that you wanted to engage with the First Nations community. How has your approach to interacting with Musqueam and other First Nations groups changed over the course of your first year as president?
Well, as you know, with any new relationship, it takes a little bit of time. And I think my first interaction with Musqueam was myself actually going there, and they've been fantastic. They showed me around their center, and they showed me in their center that there were UBC students actively and faculty working there on a project to digitize many of their artifacts and publications, and with an effort to really memorialize their language. And we want to extend that, and there are lots of faculty members here who are involved in that project, to the many other languages, some of which are already extinct or that are in danger of falling extinct. And I can say that not only the Musqueam, but other bands have been incredibly welcome. And as my stay here at UBC continues, I hope to sequentially and systematically interact with more bands and individuals in those groups and their elders. One of the most exciting events, as you know, has been when we actually erected the reconciliation pole on one side of Main Mall. It was one of the most emotional experiences I've ever had. And I had a chance to interact with the world-class artist that carved that pole. And that is, I think, a big initiative involving UBC, but also First Nations artists and citizens. It was, for me, quite emotional to hear the stories of what survivors went through in the residential schools. And I hope that that reconciliation pole will be a point of discussion, a focal point of discussion and dialogue about why that should never happen again, and why we have a long way to go as a nation and as a university to address those things that, we really shouldn't be proud of as a civilization, as a society. Later this year, we're going to be opening the Indian Residential School History and Dialogue Center, which will be on the other side of the mall. And my dream is that as people actually walk from the pole all the way to the Residential School History and Dialogue Center, that hopefully we'll have stations along the way that really bring to life, illustrate the history of First Nations and both the good and the bad, so that we can hopefully be a model of Canadian universities in our commitment to truth and reconciliation.
Yes, those stories are so, so valuable. CITR has a very hardworking spoken word department, and a large focus of their work is storytelling. Is there any cool story that about UBC that you've heard since moving here that you think deserves more attention?
There are so many stories, and I'm trying to capture them. I don't know if you know, I vlog every day, and I'm really enjoying that. And I think that we have to do a better job in telling the stories about UBC. I mean, so many come to mind. One story has to do with two individuals, I think, that serve as examples of what we should all aim to be as individuals. One has to do with a former president of UBC called Walter Gage. And you know the Gage Residential Towers. And in fact, there's another residential tower going up with his name on it as well. And everybody still remembers him, even though he hasn't been here for decades, because he really committed to the people of the institution. Before he was involved, there wasn't an appropriate celebration of the accomplishments of staff and faculty and students. In fact, I just went to the 25-year club celebration yesterday at the Life Sciences Institute, and he started that in 1970. And the idea behind the 25-year club was that UBC needed to do a better job thanking individuals who had been at the university for 25 years and who were really the bedrock that permitted the institution to become the globally recognized institution that it is today. And so Walter Gage thanked staff, but he also thanked faculty. And he is renowned for the time that he took connecting with students. And it's not very common for presidents to take the time to come out of their offices and walk around the campus and interact with students. And so Walter Gage, I think, is a story that will never leave the history and dialogues about UBC, even though he hasn't been here for a very long time. The other story has to do with the Nobel laureate called Michael Smith, who won the Nobel Prize in Chemistry. And quite a bit of money comes with that prize, along with the gold medal and the citation. And he is notable in that as UBC's professor and Nobel laureate, he decided to give almost all that money back to UBC and to a foundation. When he received that Nobel Prize, instead of saying something about how hard it was or how exciting it was to be part of that discovery, if you actually listen to video recordings of when he received the award, he was surrounded by his students and fellows, and it was all about them. And that just indicates how humble he is, and I think he's a model of what it means to be a professor and a scientist.
Awesome. That's great. We really appreciate you taking the time to come out and engage with us today here at the station.
Yeah. I guess the last burning question that we have for you is about your expressed interest in teaching a class while you're here at UBC. Is that a goal that you're still interested in pursuing? And which class would you teach?
Well, I'm really happy to report 8 months into my presidency that I've actually probably taught at least 8 or 9 times already. I've taught recently in a faculty of science course called the Physics of Music. That was relatively recently. I've taught in a solder class on models of leadership, executive leadership. I've taught a first-year English course as well on the aims of education. I've taught in the medical school. I've taught at UBC Okanagan a virology course. And so and that's something that really gets me excited and keeps me close to why I'm at a university. And the reason why I'm at a university is because I love teaching. And so, you know, I really hope to, my aim is to teach in every single faculty and every single unit on campus while I'm here.
That is an excellent goal.
Yeah. So that is all the time that we have for today. Thank you so much for joining us, Dr. Ono, and please know that you're welcome back anytime.
Thank you very much, and I'm very proud of CITR.
Next up, we have a live broadcast from Strathcona Park as the Cosmopolitans face the Black Sox for the East Van Baseball spring opening. Thank you for listening. This is CITR 101.9.
I met you in the snow, the snow.
Hey, it's Prophecy Sun. Meow. You're listening to CITR Radio 101.9 FM in Vancouver.
Hey there. This ad caught your attention. It also caught the attention of the coolest people from Squamish to Bellingham, music fans, students, and members of various cultural communities. If you want your ad to do the same, advertise with CITR and Discorder. If you've got a rad new ad or just something you want to share, whether in print, on air, or online, promote your wares, services, or events with us. Contact us at advertising@citr.ca or call 604-822-4342.